Good morning. Please have a seat. Make sure you have your Bible handy. This is a safe place, right? We are a family. There is God's love penetrating, so it's a safe place, right? Okay, so I'm going to confess to you. I'm going to field goal this right out into the audience, so I'll move it over there. Throughout the course of my life, I've always had kind of my fashion sense, what I want to look like, clothing-wise. But my confession is this: it isn't always exactly well received by the people around me. And I have four adult daughters, and so on a regular occasion, and I really thought this would stop at some point, but it has not stopped. It's still, in fact, it happened yesterday when I put on my new special tennis shoes that I'd bought. And it's usually in the form of this. It's like, the question is, so what's the look you're going for, Dad? You know, or if they're a little more passive-aggressive, it's like, so is that the look you're going for, Dad? Which had its effect, because then I'm like, okay, and then you go back to the thing, you know, and I'd come down and I'd get the same response. That's been my whole life. Is that the look you're going for? Well, I want us to think about that question on a spiritual level. When people look at our lives or they interact with us, we're not so quick to ask this question when it comes to our spiritual journey and our walk with God. But let me just throw that out there. Is that the look you're going for? You know, as people see who you are and what you're saying and what you're doing and the essence of your life that's coming out, that they're interacting with, I think it's a legitimate question to ask. Is this the look I'm going for? Is this the direction? Is this the effect, the impact? Is this the testimony that I'm going for? Now, can people just as easily as they can see our fashion look that we're going for, can they also see the spiritual aspect of our lives and what we're going for? Yes, they can. They really can. They listen to our words. They watch our actions, especially those that are very close to us, right? Our family members, those that are around us a lot, trust me, just as they're picking up on your fashion sense or lack thereof, in my case, they're also picking up on the direction of where your life is going, the spiritual direction you're going for. And I want us to think about that question this morning as we continue our look at this last section of the book of Acts. We're calling it Going Strong, and it really zooms in on Paul's life and the last season of his ministry on earth. And we saw last week what it looks like to have a strong start. We learned from Paul what it looks like to have a strong start. The question I want us to ask and think about this morning as we continue to look at his life is, what does it look like to go for a strong finish? What is the look that we're going for? Just as I put on clothes and in my mind, I have this clarity. This is what I'm going for. You know, I'm going for the Rico Suave, or I'm going for the sporty look, or I'm going, whatever it is. You know, Now, I know some of you are like, well, I just throw in whatever's there, and it doesn't matter. And that's fine, but that's the look you're going for. You just, you know. The other day, I went to Home Depot. I had to go to Home Depot, and I got it. It was a Saturday, and I had some kind of fatigue, like army fatigue shorts on and a plaid shirt and then a striped T-shirt underneath and something else. And I got the look, you know. Dad, what's the look you're going for? And I remember the moment going, I don't have a clue. I just, you know, I'm rushing off to Home Depot, and I haven't given any thought to the look that I'm going for. And you know what the result was, right? Disaster. Well, spiritually, we have to ask this question. What are we going for? What's the direction that we're aiming our life for? Because if we don't give it thought and we aren't intentional about it, the result will be the same. It will be fashion disaster, except much more serious. It'll be spiritual disaster. And that's what I want us to think about this morning as we look at this section in chapter 20, what it looks like to go for a strong finish, to really take a look at the look we're going for, the way that we want, the direction we want our life to go. Because here's the truth. There's a lot of other influences that are trying to set the direction of your life for you. You hear that? Now, let's just be honest. God has dictated, he has clearly communicated the direction that he wants our life to go. There's an enemy of mankind, Satan, who has an equally clear picture of where he wants your life to go. The culture in which we live, the world in which we live, has ideas, strong ideas, of the direction that your life should go. The Holy Spirit living inside the follower of Jesus, as Matt led us through the Lord's table this morning, he made it very clear that this is something that Jesus has asked his followers to do. And one of the characteristics, the uniqueness of being a follower of Jesus, is he promised the Holy Spirit would come and live inside of that one who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit that indwells me, that lives inside of me, has a very specific, clear picture of the direction he wants my life to go. The look that he wants my life to have. What does it look like to go for a strong finish? We talked about starting strong, but what does it look like to go for a strong finish? I want you to close your Bibles for just a second, okay? Or stick your finger in Acts 20 and close it for, and I want you to hear this. I want you to hear these sentences, these snippets from Paul's writing as the Holy Spirit worked in his life. And I want you to see if you can pick up on the look that Paul was going for his life on earth. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way to win the prize. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way as well. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. But everything that was gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. And then he wrote this in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do you have a picture in your head of the look Paul was going for in his life, what he wanted people to see, the impact he wanted to have? You see, it was all directed towards something. It was directed towards a strong finish. But to have a strong finish, I have to come back here and say, okay, let me set the direction. Which direction am I going to go? I can't just wake up one day and go, okay, I want to finish strong. I need to do that now. I need to look ahead and say, what look am I going for? What's the direction of my life? And you can hear it in the words of Paul, can't you? He's very focused. He really wants to finish well. He is setting a path for his life. He's showing us what it looks like to go for a strong finish. And it begins for us when? It begins for us when? It begins for us when? It begins right now. It begins right now. Today. Come on. You awake? When does it begin? It begins right now. You say, well, you don't understand my past. I don't need to. Well, you don't remember what I'm in. You don't know what I'm involved in right now and the mess in my life. Again, I don't need to. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what limitations I have. You don't know my circumstances. I don't have to. Because we're all in this same circumstance. The direction that we set, finishing strong, it begins right now. It begins today. Because of the grace of God, because of the persistent love of God, because we're gathered here this morning in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is here, and he is looking to work in you and me right when? Now. So setting the direction for my life, going for a strong finish begins right now. As we go back to Acts chapter 20, if you were here last week, you know that there was a big mess that took place in the city of Ephesus, and they faced it, and we saw what it looked like to have a strong start. And then in verses 13, 14, and 15, we have Paul's travel plans and his itinerary, and we're given just some details of what's happening. And then in verse 16, it says this, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Two quick thoughts. One is this: in spite of all that had happened, I want us not to miss that Paul just keeps going. He just keeps going. Everything we saw happen last week and in the events leading up to chapter 20, Paul just keeps going. Don't forget that Matthew 28, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, the Apostle Paul saw that as applying to him. And he was going to make disciples, no matter what happened. And so he keeps going. That's something important. He just continues to go as he was called. The second thing is we're told that he's in a hurry to get to Jerusalem, and he wants to get to Jerusalem because he wants to be there for the day of Pentecost. Now, it doesn't tell us why he wants to be there. We can speculate. I'm just going to tell you my thoughts. My opinion is I think he just wanted to be there. This was a very special time. This was a special time for him as a Jewish man. It was a special time for him as a follower of Jesus. It's a special time in Jerusalem. Now, this festival, this day of Pentecost, had a couple of different names as we look back in Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus. It's the Feast of Harvest. Sometimes it's called the Feast of Weeks because it took place 7 weeks and a day after, what did Matt talk about this morning? Passover. And so 50 days later, 7 weeks, seven Sabbaths in a day, they would celebrate this spring harvest. They would celebrate the Feast of Weeks. And as Jesus returned to heaven and the church began on the day of Pentecost, something extremely significant happened, something that had never happened in human history before, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament that had promised this would happen. Do you remember what happened on Pentecost? 50 days after they had celebrated Passover, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came. There was a harvest, if you will, of the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. We got one amen. Amen. I think Paul wanted to be there. I think he's a Jewish man. He's in the school of the Pharisees. He understood. He had celebrated the festivals his whole life and all that went with it. They were significant to him. And now there was the significance of the Holy Spirit promised in Joel and other places had come. I think he just wanted to be there. I think he wanted to be a part of that celebration. He wanted to be with the body of Christ in Jerusalem. And so we're told he's hurrying. He's trying to get back. And so he doesn't actually physically go to Asia. He doesn't want to get stuck there for a while, so to speak. And so he calls the elders of the church in Ephesus to come to Miletus. And that's where I want us to zoom in for a few minutes this morning. This interchange that he has, this interaction that he has in verse 17 with the elders, the leaders of the church in the city of Ephesus. Here's what I believe is here, and I want to encourage us with this, and you see it in your notes. Paul knows this is the last time he's going to see them. We'll read that in just a minute. He knows this is it. And so in his last meeting with them, he challenges them with something. I'm going to suggest that he's challenging them to go strong, to have the finish line in mind, have how you want your life to end, the look that you're going for, the direction you're going for. And right now, right here, he's going to challenge them. This is what it's going to look like for you to finish strong. Here's how you go for a strong finish in the words that he shares with them. Join me in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they came to him, he said to them, you know from the first day I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews, and that I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you anything that was profitable, literally helpful, or from teaching it to you in public. And from house to house, I testified both to Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. If you underline or you mark your Bible, there's a phrase I suggest that you underline. We need to understand this phrase, this sentence. This is the foundation, theologically, if you will, of our relationship with God through Jesus. The message that Paul testified to whoever, Jews and Greeks, didn't matter, that it was repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Matt reminded us this morning of who we offended. Who do we offend when we sin? Well, we offend each other, sure. But ultimately, who do we offend? When David committed adultery with someone who wasn't his wife, you remember in Psalm 32 and 51, he makes it clear who he has ultimately sinned against. Well, he sinned against her husband. He sinned against his... Yes, he did. But David said, ultimately, I sinned against God. See, Paul says the message is this. There is a repentance that needs to take place towards God, towards the Father, because that's who we've offended. That's the beginning of redemption for us, our salvation, our being set free. That's the good news. That's the message of the gospel, is that we owe the Father repentance. And we respond because of that repentance to the Father. We express that heart by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that what Jesus did on the cross is going to resolve that offense. See, I'm guilty before the Father. I can make all the excuses I want. I can go in a million different directions. The reality is I am guilty before the Father, my Creator, God. I've offended His holiness, and I'm in trouble because I got no solution. The message says there is a solution. It begins with repentance. You come to acknowledge, recognize that I am a sinner, and that He's holy, and He's righteous, and He's just. And I know that how? Because of what He has offered me through His Son, Jesus Christ. So I repent. I'm wrong. I'm going the wrong direction. Father, I want to come back to You. How does that happen? He says, you trust in My Son. You put your faith in My Son because I sent Him. I love the world so deeply, so strongly that I gave My one and only begotten Son so that if you would trust in Him, you won't perish, but you will have eternal life. That sound familiar? Yeah. So the message He proclaimed, don't miss this, underline that. It's a message that Paul testified to whoever, to all. Message is the same. Do you see that? Doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, how much money you make, what your ethnic background, nothing matters. Do you see it? He says, I proclaim the same message to everyone. It was a message about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in town after town, the Holy Spirit testifies to me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me in Jerusalem. But I count my life of no value to myself so that I may finish my course. Do you hear it again? Do you hear the direction of his life? That I can finish my course in the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus. What was that, Paul? That ministry that he received from the Lord Jesus, it says it right there, doesn't it? See it? To testify to the gospel of God's grace. To testify to the gospel, to the good news of God's grace. And now, I know that none of you will ever see my face again. Everyone I went about preaching the kingdom to, hear what he's saying. He's not just talking to the elders. He's saying these journeys, these missionary trips, this ministry of his life to Asia and to Macedonia, all the people that he'd shared the gospel with, he says, I'm never going to see any of them again. I'm not going to see you. I'm not going to see any of them again. Everyone that I went about preaching the kingdom to, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of everyone's blood, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole plan of God. Now, I wrote these down in your notes. There's some big words in this, but they're intentional. So I want you to catch these. What does it look like? How do we take the principles from what Paul is writing here through the Holy Spirit and we apply it to our lives? Here's what I want to suggest to you. Look at your notes. What it's going to take for me to go strong, for me to go strong so that I finish strong is going to require some things on my part, and they're listed there in your notes. Do you see them? See the big words? They're big words for me. Going strong is going to require some things. First, it's going to require that I persistently resist whatever distracts me from my mission. That I persistently resisting whatever distracts me from my mission. Now I am on my way to Jerusalem, bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in town after town, the Holy Spirit testifies to me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. Well, then, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. There's going to come a point where this prophet walks up and he takes his belt off, takes off Paul's belt, and he ties himself up, and he says, this is what's going to happen to you. And all the people around Paul, his brothers and sisters in Christ, say, Paul, don't go. Don't go to Jerusalem. Thank you. I love you. But this is what God has for me. This is what it looks like for me to go strong. The Holy Spirit is telling me, yes, there's going to be pain, there's going to be affliction when I get there, but he's also telling me to go there. And so I'm not going to allow anything to distract me from fulfilling the mission that God's given me to fulfill. Now, would you agree with me that we face distractions? Do you face distractions? I face them all the time. And they come from outside and they come from within. That so-called still, quiet voice kind of is loud sometimes, right? Kurt, what are you doing? Do this. Go this way. Invest your life in this. Woo-hoo, this will be... Sorry, I didn't dance. That doesn't count, right? There's distractions all around us. And if we're going to finish strong, what does it look like for me to go for a strong finish? I need to persistently resist the distractions. Oh, some of these distractions look and sound so good. I marvel at Paul being surrounded by these people that love him, that have traveled with him, that serve with him. And they're saying, hey, don't do this. Don't do this. Oh, how easy it would have been to listen to that. No? Do you remember Jesus and Peter? Remember that interchange? Jesus speaks the will of God, the mission he'd come for. I'm going to go and I'm going to die and give my life. And Peter says, no, that'll never happen. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Not what you want to hear from Jesus, right? Get behind me, Satan. You know, I mean, he's like, Peter, no, you're allowing yourself to be distracted. Jesus refused to be distracted from the mission that he'd come to fulfill. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the work was finished? Aren't you glad that Jesus persistently resisted the distractions? How many times in his life did people say, hey, stay, we'll make you king. We want you around. This will be awesome. Do you remember those moments? And Jesus persistently resisted and said, no, that's not why I've come. That's not why I've come. If I'm going to go strong, if I'm going to aim for a strong finish for my life, I have to persistently resist the distractions that would pull me away from my mission, and the same is true for you. You know it's true, right? You live it every day. You live the distractions. Sometimes they sound so good. They sound so almost like they're from God, right? But see, we need to keep in mind, we need to keep in clarity right out in front of us, what is the mission of my life? Why am I here? I imagine, let me be really clear, I imagine Paul has Matthew 28 pop into his head. I can't prove that. But I imagine Paul just hearing the words of Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just Jewish people, but of all nations. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I want you to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember this, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I have to believe that those words bounced around in Paul's head. I can even see moments in Acts where maybe they specifically came in and he just kept going. He kept going. He kept going. Because he kept out front the clarity of the mission of why he was here. But this is what's going to require, church. We have to persistently resist whatever distracts us from our mission. Number two, going strong is going to require that we selflessly choose to love and serve people in all of their mess. Am I judging you? Yes, I am. And you can judge me too. Because it's true. Come on, let's just be real. We're a mess. If you looked in the mirror at 5:30 in the morning, you're a mess. When you choose to disobey God and go your own way and your own plan, and it all comes crashing down on you, you are a mess. Daily, we are a mess. The people that Paul served are no different than us. Paul himself was no different than us. He says, remember from the first day I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time. Now that was significant to me, maybe some of you too, that this is really a commitment on his part. Remember, the people of Ephesus are pagans by that term, meaning that they worship the earth, they worship multi-gods, and with that worship came all kinds of behavior that would have been highly offensive to the Apostle Paul. You with me? We're not going to break it down, but it just the way they lived and they talked and their values and what they gave themselves to. And Paul stepped into this mess and he says, I set foot in Asia and how I was with you. I was with you in all of it the whole time, serving the Lord with humility and with tears. and with the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jewish people that were following him, and I did not shrink back. See, it requires that we selflessly choose to love and serve people in all of their mess. Nothing has changed. You're just as much a mess. I am just as much a mess as they were then. If we're gonna finish strong, you will never finish strong. You'll never get there without loving and serving people along the way. That's what Jesus did. Come on, right? That's what he did. He stepped into our mess and he loved messy people for 3 years and then, or 30-something years, and then he died on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father. He loved and he served people in the midst of their mess. If you want to finish strong, if I want to finish strong, if I want the look of my life to be, hey, I've got a target, I've got a finish line, and I'm heading there, and nothing's going to stop me, then it's going to require that we selflessly choose to love and serve people in all of their mess. We see it in the life of Paul. Number three, going strong is going to require that we intentionally surrender control of the outcome of our life. This is hard. All of these are hard, right? Let's be real. Loving people in their mess, that's hard. Loving me is hard. Go ahead. This is your one chance to be. It is. These are all difficult on our own strength, but it's what God calls us to do. We need to intentionally surrender control of the outcome of our life. Listen to these words again of Paul in verse 24. I count my life of no value to myself. Why, Paul? Well, so that I may finish my course in the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. That encounter that Paul had with Jesus on the road to Damascus was more significant to Paul than all of the years before training and serving as a Pharisee. That was the turning point of his life. When the Lord Jesus came to him and said, Paul, why are you poking against me? Why are you fighting against me? I have a mission for your life. I want you to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Ananias would come and verbalize it for God to him. The rest of Paul's life was shaped by that mission that Jesus had given him. You have to let go of control if you're going to follow the mission, live the plans that God has for your life. You can't have two masters. You can't have two people driving the car. You can't have two people on the mouse. Trying to make it real, you know. Can't have two people on the keyboard and the mouse. Or let me make it really real. You can't, because I have grandkids. You can't have two people swiping the iPad at the same time. It's a mess. Come on, right? Like, you know, there's one person in charge that says, we're going to go here, then we're going to go there, then we're going to do this, then we're going to go here. You with me? If I'm going to have a strong finish, this is what it looks like. I have to intentionally surrender control of the outcome of my life. And that's hard. You know why it's hard? Because I am really stubborn. My dad's laughing. You know, I'm really stubborn. Just remember where it came from. You know, it gets passed down through the don't point at mom. It comes through Adam, through the dad. I'm stubborn and I'm hard-headed and I know what's best for me. And I'll tell you something else. I don't like pain. I don't like pain. Paul had come to understand that God's plan for his life, the way that he wanted his life to go, was going to include some pain. And the future, he's already real. The future is going to bring more pain, right? There's more pain coming. If I'm going to go strong, if I'm going to learn from Paul's testimony here, it requires that I intentionally surrender the control of the outcome of my life. I have to let go of those pictures that I have in my head of how I want my life to go. And I have to come to God and say, God, I'm convinced that your plans for me are good. The future you have for me is good, that you're committed to me. So I'm just taking my hands off. Now, how often do we have to do that? Some daily, sometimes hourly, right? No? Yeah. And we just have to keep coming back and say, okay, I'm sorry, I tried to redirect my life, but you know, I want to finish strong, so my hands are coming off again. Holy Spirit, you're leading, you guide, because I want my life to go the direction you want it to go, and I'm intentionally letting go. And fourthly, going strong requires that we courageously proclaim the message of repentance and faith. Boy, I'm reading this, studying this, and I'm thinking, man, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Nothing has changed when it comes to people and the culture that we're living in. I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you anything that was profitable, helpful, or from teaching it to you in public and from house to house. I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. What is Paul saying? He's giving us today insight into the moment. He's saying that it was sometimes easy and it sometimes wasn't. Sometimes it was well received and sometimes it wasn't. It was hard to do it in public. People reacted badly to the message of the gospel in Paul's day. Just like people may react badly to the message of the gospel of repentance and grace today. Is he telling somebody that we're wrong, we're broken before God, and we need to repent? Is that something we want to hear? No. Do I want to hear from my wife when we're having an argument that I'm wrong? No. I really don't want to hear from the Spirit of God when I realize that I am wrong, and he's telling me, and you know, I don't like to be told I'm wrong. A message of repentance is not a popular message. But the Bible tells us that it is good news, and that faith in Jesus Christ is good news, because that offer comes to us by the grace of God. That's what this is. This is the grace of God, so that I can even come to God, and I can repent. And when I repent, I'm not finding a God that, whack, you know, sends me to the moon. I find a God that says, oh, Curtis, I created you for this. I created you to know me and enjoy me and fellowship with me, but the sin in your life has just blocked it. And now that you've come and you've repented, I've made a way for us to be restored through my Son. Put your faith in him. And a long time ago in my life, I did just that. In coming to God in repentance, I said, okay, I trust in Jesus. And a relationship was restored. Repentance brought renewal, a new life. And what happened to my sin, which I had lots? It was washed away. It was covered. It was paid for through repentance and faith. Now, that's good news, and it gives me goosebumps even now as I'm saying it out loud. But that message is not going to be received well all the time in all settings. And what Paul testifies to here is he said, you know what? I just didn't hesitate to proclaim that message. I just kept saying it, and I told it in public. I told it in private in the homes. I told it to this person and that person, to Jewish people with their background, to Gentile people, pagans, people that were worshiping other gods, wherever people were at. I just proclaimed it. I proclaimed it. I proclaimed it. You find that type of phrase all through this text. I taught. I proclaimed. I remind. He courageously proclaimed the message of repentance and faith. Now, are you connecting this to your life? I hope so. I hope that we're through the Holy Spirit that we're connecting this to our setting right now today. If I'm going to finish strong, if I'm going to set a direction, I have to persistently resist whatever distracts me from my mission. I have to selflessly choose to love and serve people in their mess. I have to intentionally surrender control of the outcome of my life, and I put it in the hands of God, and I need to courageously proclaim the message of repentance and faith. Let me say this, and I'll leave this alone, but this is important. Don't let anybody, I don't care how powerful they are, how influential they are, how rich they are, whoever they are, don't allow anyone to ever tell you that the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has changed and needs to change to fit the culture in which we live. It's a lie. It is a lie. The message of repentance and faith has not changed, and it never will change. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus made that startling claim that there was only one way to God. And what was his message? It was a message of repentance and faith. He was so committed to it, and it was so clear and unchanging that it led to that. That's why he went to the cross. Because the Father had sent him to us with a message of repentance and faith. And it hasn't changed, guys. We can dress it up. We can, you know, there's wisdom in maybe making it so that people can understand or trying to make it clear, but never, ever compromise the message of repentance and faith. There is no other way that we can be made right with God. I'm not making that out. I'm not making that claim. I'm affirming it. But Jesus made that claim. And Paul made it here, no matter where he went or who he was interacting with, regardless of what the culture was, he just continually proclaimed this message, the good news, the gospel of God's grace. You see that there at the end of verse 24, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Those were his last words. And I believe these words were for the church. He was speaking to the elders, to the leaders of the local church there in Ephesus, but it was a message that was meant to go back to the church. This is for the church. It's for us today. Do we believe it? I hope so. We depart from this gathering in a little while, and we go out into our lives. We need to be living on this foundation that this is for us. This is God's word for us, as much as it was for the church in Ephesus. And then Paul has a few final words, and we're going to close with this. He had a few words for these specific elders and a charge to them. And we are a church that is governed by elders and by deacons. The head of the church is who?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. That's right. He is the head of the church. The authority of the church rests in him. And he has chosen to invest authority in elders and deacons to shepherd, co-shepherd, under-shepherd, if you will, particular bodies. And that's how we operate. And so this morning, I'm going to ask our elders to stand. You may not know who, you may or may not know Andy, Matt, Jeff, Don. I'm going to ask you to come out of the booth, if you would, for just a minute, just kind of stand here. And I stand up here as well. And before this body, I want you to hear the words of Paul, the charge that he makes to the elders of that day, and we're reading it today to us, to me, to Andy, to Matt, to Jeff, and to Don. This is God's charge to the elders that you see standing of your local body today. Will you just agree with me on that? That this is his charge. This is what it looks like for us. Verse 28. And I read this to myself as I read this to us. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on alert. Be on alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years I did not stop warning each of you with tears. We are to warn. Night and day we are to warn. And now I commit you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Don't do this for monetary gain or any other kind of gain to yourself. Ourselves. You yourselves know that these hands, Paul's hands, have provided for my needs and for those who were with me. In every way, I've shown you what that by laboring like this, it is necessary to help the weak. To help the weak. And keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus. For he said, these are the words of Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And all God's people said, that is the charge to elders today as it was in Paul's day. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for serving and shepherding in our church. I want you to, as I close, I want you to take a look at that question that we started with. What's the look that I'm going for my life? Not your clothes, but my life. What's the look that I'm going for? And I want to encourage you, there's things in your bulletin, there's things that we talk about up here, and we'll talk in a few minutes as we close, when we get ready to be dismissed, some things that are coming up, but I want to keep these things before us. They're not just so that we can have programs, they are intended that we can come together and we can go strong, and we can set a direction for our life that would end in a strong finish for each and every one of us who puts our faith in Jesus Christ. They're on the back of your notes. Commit to family strong. That's our theme this year. Commit to it. What does that mean? You'll understand it more as we go through the year, but it means you're investing in times like this morning. You're investing in the times that we're serving our kids and the other times that we come together. Invest in family strong. Plan to go deep and wide in your faith through e-groups. That's what they're there for. We have a men's one starting up pretty soon on Wednesday nights. If you're a man, you should be there. Moms Connect are there to encourage you. Encore, and we have a slew of others that are going to begin in this year. Just plan to be a part of that. Invest in your own growth. Register for Momentum. You need to be encouraged. You need to be equipped. Be a part of Momentum at the end of February. You can go to the website. You can sign up. It's $20. But it's for the church to come together, the Church of Carmichael. We need to go strong as the church in Carmichael. Would you agree? We need to come together. That's what Momentum's about, just equipping and empowering the body parts to serve as body parts in the local church, in the Church of Carmichael, in Carmichael. Register, be a part of Momentum. We've talked about the peace plan. I'm not going to walk through the five pieces of it. It's there. I will talk about it over and over this year because I'm convinced that this is a key part of us going strong in 2017. is that we're intentionally investing in this. We have a tool starting up in February called Leadership Huddles. We talked about it last week. A few of you marked cards, and we've begun to form those huddles. But it's not too late. It's not too late for you to mark your card and say, I want to grow as a leader. I want to grow as a leader in my home, as a husband, as a father, in the areas that I serve or at work or in my community. I want to grow as a leader. Then invest in becoming part of a leadership huddle. What's the look of your life? What's the look you want your life to have? As you look down, look clearly at the end of your life. What do you want it to look like then? Then you need to set goals, and you need to take steps when? Right now. And the good news is the Holy Spirit is in you. He is trembling with anticipation, excitement, and joy to work in us, to empower us, to be, to do, to obey the Word of God. He is, and He has great things in store for us as we will surrender to that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for how persistent and how unshakable your love for us is, and the way you display it to us through grace and through mercy, through forgiveness, through the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit would work in us right now, that he would speak to us, he would open up the eyes of our heart to see clearly what we have been exposed to this morning as we gathered around the table of your Son and what that means. And as we've opened up your Word, that your Spirit just would open up our eyes to see clearly what it looks like for us, for me, for each of us, to go strong for you, to go towards a strong finish. Father, as we respond in worshiping with our hearts and our mouths this morning, this is a time that we also want to bring our lives before you in prayer. And so, Father, you know that this is a time where we just want to be intentional about praying together. And there's people waiting, church. There's people waiting over here on the side. This is a time for you to come to be prayed for, to kneel at the altar, or to go over to the side here to your right and just to be prayed over by a brother or sister. Father, I thank you for the community that you're creating. I thank you for your intent that we would not do this alone, but we would walk side by side with each other so that collectively we can go strong. And so in these moments, I pray, God, your Spirit would just touch those that need to go and to be prayed for or need to come forward, that they would listen to you, and that all of us, Father, would bring you our hearts in this moment of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.